Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. For all of those that are online as well, I feel like I've been away for a while. Actually, I have been away for a while. My wife and I did some vacation time, and so it's good to be back in the saddle, and I can truly say Happy New Year to you, because it's the first time I've seen you in the new year. My wife, Karen, has been in the real estate business for many years now, and if you know anything about the real estate business, the mantra is location, location, location. And that kind of reminds me, you know, we've been talking about prayer, and I think when it comes to prayer, people are concerned about location as well. Like, where is God when I'm praying? And does God know where I am? Does he locate me when I'm praying? So there's a few questions that I want us to ask this morning. The first one is, how do I locate God? That's a big one. And then, how can I be sure my prayers are being heard? I mean, who wants to pray if you feel like your prayers are not really being heard? How do I hear God? Big one. One of the big questions, how do I hear God? And then, how do I get results through my prayer life? In the very first message that I kicked this series off with, I talked about how that prayer is actually better than a New Year's resolution. Now, I actually made some New Year's resolutions. Anybody else may make any New Year's resolutions? Okay, how you doing? Are we doing okay? Okay. And so far, I'm doing pretty good on mine, but I actually believe with all of my heart that prayer is actually stronger and better than a New Year's resolution, and that's always being played out in my life. And then last week, Tony did a great job. I was watching him online, and he was talking about the prayer that Jesus, the way that he taught us how to pray. Today, I want to briefly walk us through the short history of prayer and then move on to these questions that I talked about. So, since the very beginning, when I say the very beginning, I'm going back to the book of Genesis and the creation story and Adam and Eve. Since the very beginning, there's this longing in the heart of man. You know, we're created body, soul, and spirit. And there's that spirit part of us that says, I want to connect with God. And so that's God put that in us. That's a natural thing that's inside of us. And if you go back to that story, you know, the first couple of chapters of Genesis are beautiful. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read it. And then you hit chapter 3. Everything goes bad in chapter 3 of Genesis. Of course, we call that's the fall of mankind. And in that time, right before that happened, there's this visual. And I could never actually get the visual right in my head, but Adam and Eve, it says, are walking with God through this beautiful garden, this paradise. And they're naked, and they're not ashamed, the Bible said. And everything is just awesome. So I'm thinking to myself, here's God physically walking with them, and every perfect fellowship, everything is wonderful. And of course, then that thing happens in the garden. And, you know, God says, hey, don't touch that tree. Don't eat that stuff. And they do. And suddenly, everything goes bad. And in that moment, they do something which is really, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be comical. And that is that they try to hide from God, if you can imagine that, like a couple of three-year-olds. And they're trying to cover themselves up with fig leaves, like, oh, we realize we're naked now. Their eyes have been opened in a different way. And ever since that time, it seems that humanity, in a certain way, has been trying to hide from God, or they're running from God, or they're trying to ignore God, or act like God doesn't even exist. But I think there's this thing inside of every person, even if they're an atheist, gnawing at their heart. I saw a comic strip years ago, kind of stuck with me. It's a big old, just mad, visualize a big old dog, and on this dog are two little tiny fleas. And it's the father flea and the son flea. And the son flea says to father flea, "Dad, do you believe in dog?" Let it sink in. But it's kind of like us on planet Earth. It's all, everything around, this is God's creation. We are God's creation, and yet there's so much denial about that. And yet there's this thing inside of us that says, I want to connect with God. I want to pray to God. In fact, I believe that atheists pray, agnostics pray, people, all kinds of people pray, even if they won't admit it. But the question is, I guess, who are they praying to? Well, I guess that all depends on your faith system, sort of your worldview. So I want to just walk you through a real brief history of prayer. Let's start with animism. Animism is the belief, and it's still very, very big today, that objects, places, creatures, rocks, crystals, all these things have distinct spiritual essence to them. I remember years ago, I was in Santa Cruz, and I was surfing at one of my very favorite spots. And I met this guy, and I struck up a conversation with him about faith. And I assumed, by the way that our conversation was going, that he was a Christian like I was. So everything's going great, and there's this beautiful wave that went by us, and he said, "There goes God." And I'm like, "Did I miss something?" He goes, "That was God." Well, he would fall into that category because he saw the creation as the essence of God, really as God. In fact, a lot of the radical environmentalists today kind of fall into that category because what it comes down to is they worship the creation, and who doesn't believe that the creation is awesome, beautiful? I mean, I love the creation, but they are worshiping the creation as opposed to the creator. And so that's animism. Again, a lot of people fall into that category today. Next, we have polytheism, which is a belief in multiple deities, which are usually assembled into this pantheon of gods and goddesses, along with their own religious sects and rituals. And there's a lot of that. I was in Fiji some years ago, and I was doing our water projects with Give Clean Water. And we came into this village, and it was a Hindu village. And if you've ever been in a Hindu village, like in a different part of the world, they have all their gods on display, and it's multiple gods. I mean, they believe in all kinds of gods, kind of gnarly, because they have like their sacrifices down there and everything. And so there are a lot of people in different countries today, Southeast Asia, Laos, India, where they believe in multiple gods. And in our country as well, we have people that believe like, well, I believe in a whole bunch of different gods, and they pray to those gods. And then we have monotheism. Monotheism is a belief that there's only one deity, all supreme God, and that's our belief system. We call that the Abrahamic faith system because Abraham is somebody that really, from whether you're a Muslim or whether you're into Judaism or whether you're a Christian, he's the father of those three. And so we pray to one God. Well, after the fall of mankind, we see the evidence of man, for the first time, going back to sort of the history of God, trying to reach out to God. So if you go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 28, there's a guy named Seth. Now, remember, you have Adam and Eve, and they began to have children, and one of their children, his son, his name was Seth, and then he had a son, and his name was Enoch, and says, in that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. So everything has gone wrong. You know, go back to the garden, everything has gone wrong, and there's this disconnect from God. And suddenly it says for the very first time, people are starting to say, God? They're trying to connect with God. They're trying to reach out with God, sort of the beginning of prayer. And then the actual first recorded prayer, we don't find it until we get to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it's the story of Hannah. And the story, Hannah, so is this woman like so many women that are recorded in biblical stories. she can't have a child. She's barren. And so she cries out to God. She goes, God, and her prayer is actually recorded. And God answers her prayer, and she has a son. His name is Samuel, and becomes an amazing prophet. As you move through the Old Testament, you begin to see more and more prayers going up to God. In fact, one of the big time prayers of all time was David. In fact, he recorded a lot of his prayers in the book of Psalms. He actually turned them into songs, and you can go there and see a lot of his prayers. And then we come to the New Testament. So moving along in history, when we get into the New Testament, of course, Jesus comes along. He teaches us how to pray. This is the way that you ought to pray. He is a man of prayer. He models that so well for us. He goes into solitary places and prays a lot. And then he's crucified and he ascends into heaven. And when he leaves, we are to pray. So what happens is this: the church starts to come together. And if you go to the book of Acts, the first century church was a church of prayer. I mean, there's a reason that that little group, that 120 people, that thing began to just blow up and expand and move around outside the borders of that country and really ultimately around the world, because those people were all about prayer. In fact, you find it in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says this: After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. You ever thought about the power that there is when people come together? This is one of the reasons I'm really excited about those 24 hours of prayer that we're going to do on the 30th and the 31st. There is so much power when God's people come together and we put our prayers together. So that's just a little bit of the history of prayer. I could have gone a lot more time on that one, but we're going to go into these questions right now. So let's talk about the first question. How do I locate God so I can actually pray to Him? You know, we just finished celebrating Christmas, and the prophets, long before Christ showed up, they said the Messiah is going to come, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. Said that happened. Jesus came, and God was actually with us. So he located us, right? Like, he comes into planet Earth, you know, he becomes a man, and he locates us. He moves into our neighborhoods. That's what Eugene Peterson says in the Message Bible. I love that. Then we all have access to him, right? But still, where is he? When I was a freshman in college, I was a ministry major, and I had to take Theology 101. Sounds really boring, but it was actually a pretty cool class. And one of the things we learned about was the attributes of God. And one of the attributes of God is that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So there's nowhere that you can be that God isn't. In fact, David acknowledged this. If you go to Psalm 139:7, it says this: Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And if you continue to read the rest of this psalm, he just keeps on talking about, if I go here, you're there. If I go over here, I can't hide from you. You're always there. We've been located. And God can locate you anywhere. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, it's a short little book, you ought to check it out, is Jonah. And Jonah finds himself, I won't tell you the story, but Jonah finds himself in the belly of a large fish, probably a whale. And he prays probably the most sincere prayer any person's ever prayed. God, please get me out of this situation. And God located Jonah in the belly of a large fish. God can locate you wherever you are. And since you've been located, then we should connect with God. My wife has a thing on our, we have iPhones, and there's a 360 locator. And I'm saying this, and some of you, maybe you're finding out this for the very first time, and I hope I don't do any marital damage by talking about this. But my wife knows where I'm at all times. But at first, I didn't know about this, you know. And so, you know, I would be at the beach and my phone would ring and I go, oh, it's Karen. Hey, babe, what's going on anyway? She goes, oh, I see you're at the beach. And I go, whoa. I go, how do you know I'm at the beach? I mean, I mean, I'm not trying to hide from you, but, you know, yeah, I'm down here. And so she always knows where I'm at. It's kind of spooky for my sons. One of my sons is okay with it. My other son's like, you are not going to do that to me. But that's the way it is with God. Like, he always knows where we are. But not only does he know where we are in terms of our location, he knows where we are emotionally. He knows where we are. If we're, you know, in a really bad place, and if he knows if we're in an unsafe place, and we reach out to him, God always knows where we are. In James 4:8, I love this verse. It says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." And really, that's just prayer. Like, how do you come near to God? You start to talk to him. Say, God, and it doesn't matter where you are, geographically or emotionally or whatever, you can always reach out to God. Then the question, how can I be sure my prayers are being heard? Have you ever prayed, and as you're praying, you're like, this is going nowhere. I mean, you just feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the walls. And a lot of that has to do with how we feel. Like, we tend to be emotional people, right? And sometimes you're just like, I don't know if God's here. And what happens is when we don't feel it, we tend to project that onto God. Well, you must not be here, God, because I don't feel you in this moment, right? And so therefore, I don't know if I'm actually being heard. Well, first of all, I want you to know God always hears everyone all the time. God hears atheists. God hears agnostic. God hears people who pray to other gods. But if they'll direct their attention to God, our God, God will hear them. But here's what really makes the difference. If you want to be heard, if you want to pray with confidence, you need to get into a relationship with our God. Because that makes all the difference in the world. You say, well, okay, if you know God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that's a game changer right there, because then you're approaching the God that you know, the God that you have some life experience with. Now, I will say this. Are there barriers to our prayers? And are there things that can happen where we're not heard? Well, we're always heard, but if we have unconfessed sin in our life, that's a barrier right there. It's kind of the elephant in the room. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, God, I want to pray right now, but you know things are not well with you and God, because, you know, there's some sinful stuff going on in your life, and sometimes we're hesitant to pray. Well, unconfessed sin is like one of the major barriers in our life. In fact, I look what it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, one of the greatest confessors of sin, it's ironic, because he's called a man after God's own heart, and yet he was one of the biggest sinners. In fact, we're going to be doing the life of David coming up in a series real soon here. But David, you know, big-time sinner, if you read his story, but a man after God's own heart. And he was so confessional. I think one of the things that God loved about David is David would immediately out the elephant in the room, okay, God, I sinned. And he would just put it out there. Psalm 139:1, he says, O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. And I think David just had this thing in him, like, God, I'm not going to play games with you. I'm not going to come before you and act like I got it together, because I don't. So let's just get it out there. And I think that's, if we want to be heard by God, it's just honesty. I remember one time years ago, and I was a real young guy. My wife and I had only been married for a few years at this point, and I was a youth pastor, and we had a big fight that morning before I went into the office, and I'll never forget. It was bad. Please don't judge me for what I say right now, but I got super vocal and I yelled. And I even threw something, and then I got in my car and I peeled out, and. I was young version of me, and when I got to my office, I thought, well, I need to do something spiritual, so I opened my Bible up, and I started reading, and I crashed into this verse, and it's found in 1 Peter 3:7, so as I'm reading and I'm trying to be spiritual, it suddenly speaks to me, and it says, husbands, you need to treat your wives well, and if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. And in that moment, I'm like, oh, no. God's not even going to hear me right now. I immediately got in my car, drove home, and I was wrong. I mean, I knew I was way out of line. And I apologized to my wife. I said, first of all, I owe her the apology. Secondly, I don't want anything to get in the way between, you know, me and God in my prayer. So I just say that to all of you husbands online, or all of you husbands that are here, okay, you get things squared away with your wife, okay, if you want God to hear you, okay? And all the wives said what? Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Just want to make sure you're with me there. You know, we can pray courageous prayers when we get honest with God. Another thing about this, so let's just talk about that sin thing again for a second. None of us is perfect, not even close. I think a lot of times when we're going through a bad stretch in our life, and I've been there before, you know, honestly, there have been times in my life when I was dealing with some pretty serious sin issues in my life. And yet I was still able to pray, how? Very confessionally. Just going, God, I am struggling right now. And maybe that describes you. Maybe you're going through a really dark season of your life, and it's an addiction thing, or it's some relationship that's really gone bad and you're not handling it well, or maybe you lost your job and you're angry at God or whatever it is, and that stuff is going on. Keep praying. He hears you. He hears you no matter what is going on in your life. But just come to Him honestly and confessionally. Here's another question. How do I hear God? This is probably one of the questions that is asked most through my life. Like, how do I hear God? Well, the first thing I think that we need to know is that God actually wants to speak to us. He actually does want to speak to us. And if you and I do all the talking and He's not, that's just a monologue. It's all it is. And I think this kind of, for some people, this is almost kind of scary, because if you're new to faith, it's like, so, yeah, I do prayer. You mean like God? Like God will actually speak to us. God will actually talk to us. Yeah, He will. And he does it in a lot of different ways. I think the primary way that God speaks to me through my life, and He speaks in different ways, is really through the Bible. When I open the Scripture up, and this is one I just so want to encourage you, if you don't read the Bible, and maybe this is just the beginning of the year, like get a one-year Bible or something and just start reading through the Bible. What happens is you begin to get His Word, His Scripture into your heart, really. And people say, well, what is God's will? God's will is found in God's Word. You'll find it there. And pretty soon, when you are dealing with stuff, or you're like, God, I want to hear You, a lot of times His Word will just find itself in your heart. God also speaks through other people. In my life, many times God has spoken to me directly through other people in my life. God sometimes will speak through circumstances. Sometimes we call that the open door, closed door. You know, it's like, God, just show me, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, God will do that. But God will also just speak to you. Probably not audibly, although I have, on a few occasions, I've heard people say that they actually heard the audible voice of God, and these were credible people, so I know occasionally that happens. But one of the barriers to hearing God is just this crazy pace of life. We are this caffeinated culture, and we don't know how to still ourselves and stay in a place where we can just listen to God, or maybe we're just not willing to, because it requires something of us to say, okay, God, I want to hear You. By the way, God, You've got 5 minutes, so speak. And God just, He doesn't work that way. In fact, in Psalm 37:7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, of all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, the beautiful thing, the one that I struggle with the most is patience. Man, I struggle with that. All these years later, I'm still struggling with that. And sometimes it's so hard for me just to say, okay, God, here I am, and I'm going to stay here for a while until I feel like I have heard You. Jesus modeled this so well. You know, before Jesus began His public ministry, He went out into the wilderness and spent 40 days, just 40, all by Himself, out in the wilderness because He wanted to hear from His Father. Can you imagine any of us spending even one day in the wilderness? Here I am, God. Maybe you've done that before. But you're going to hear the voice of God. You know, a lot of the things that get in the way of us hearing the voice of God are our impatience and everything else. It's our Western lifestyle. which is really the result of three groundbreaking inventions. You know what the first one was? In 1370, in Germany, they invented the clock. The clock. You probably never thought about that, but when the clock was invented, suddenly people got busier. They were aware of time in a way that they had never been aware of time before. And then a little bit later on, in 1879, a guy named Thomas Edison invents the light bulb. And now we can extend our days. We're aware of time, and we can extend our days, and life gets even more busy. And then, all the way to 2007, the iPhone. Oh, the iPhone. Here it is right here. And I don't know about you, it seems like a lot of my life is on this phone. You know, we have our texts, we have our emails, we have so much information on these phones. And it's hard for us to slow down. There's a guy named Michael Zigarella from the Messiah University, and he did a five-year study on 20,000 Christians in the U.S. About hearing God. And it was identified that from those 20,000, the busyness was the number one factor that got in the way of them being able to connect with God or being able to hear God in their life. Truly, hurry is the enemy of hearing God. Just like busy, busy, busy. The Bible says God is love. How many of you have come to realize that love requires time? It requires time. Relationships require time if we're going to have a relationship with God. So I guess the question is, because I want to get real practical here, and that is, how do we eliminate the distractions? Like, how do we do that? So I've written a few things down here. First of all, find a quiet place. I don't know what that looks like for you. Most of you have maybe a place in your house, and it's kind of like, hey, that's kind of a cool spot, or maybe a place in your backyard. Maybe you have a little park down the street, but finding some place that feels good. It's kind of life-giving. You don't have to go to a temple or anything like that, but find a spot where you can connect with God on a daily basis. I think the next thing is find a time to pray that works for you. My wife is not a morning person. I am. She's an evening person. I'm not. And so I pray, you know, the morning is my time. A little bit later for her is her time, but whatever works for you, that's the time to pray. So you just kind of figure that out, and then just make that a daily thing. Try to be as consistent as you can. And then let me get back to this for a moment. So I don't know if you've ever been praying with a cell phone next to you. It doesn't work real good. If you've got it turned up like this, it's the worst thing possible. You get all those little pop-ups happening all the time. Oh, another YouTube video. I want to see that. Or you know, you just get texted or any number of things, social media, Facebook. Oh, there we go. It's Troy, you know, whatever it is. And then you're just so distracted. So here's what I do. Even if I have it with me, I'm like face down. Okay. And let me give you an illustration of why I think this is important. Years ago, I had a youth pastor working for me. And we would go out once a week. We'd get a cup of coffee. It was our staff meeting time. It was about 1 hour. And for like the first three or four meetings that we had, my youth pastor is like talking to me, and I'm talking to him, and he's like the whole time. This guy said, Finally, I'm like, hey, put the phone down. I was a little angry. And he was like, whoa, okay, you know, what's up? I said, dude, do you realize how disrespectful that is? Like, you're not even looking at me, you know? You're looking at all your texts and all the stuff from your friends. I said, just put it down. And after that, things worked really well. But have you ever thought about how disrespectful it is to the creator of the universe? We're like, God, I just want to check in with you, and you're so awesome. And I just want to worship and praise you, and I have a couple of needs. And I think I made my point. By the way, it's not just phones. Today is smartwatches, right? You ever been with somebody and they're like, why do you keep looking at the time? Well, that's going on too. Take a walk in a beautiful place. One of my favorite things to do is to take prayer walks. If you've never taken a prayer walk, you need to do it. I go to the place, I love the beach. Sometimes I go to the bay, but I go to places that inspire me and I just walk and I talk. And you don't have to talk out loud. Usually I do, but when I see people that are close by, I don't want to think I'm crazy, so I kind of tone it down. But I have some of the most, when God speaks, I think he most speaks to me then. when I'm walking, and I'm just taking the time, and I'll walk several miles just to hear God. And nature just does that for me too. I don't know how many of you love nature, but when I get into nature, I just feel like the presence of God. It speaks to me. You know, I know that we have moms out there with children, and so I called my daughter up. My daughter has three children. She's got a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a three-month-old. And so I called Rachel up, and I said, Rachel, and she's a godly woman, I said, how do you, like, connect with God? I mean, I know you're super busy, and I, like, every time I call her up, I can hear kids jumping around, my granddaughters, and I can hear, you know, little Silas, and he's crying, and I'm like, wow, it's noisy back there. So how do you do this? She says, well, Dad, I have to carve out a little bit of time in the morning. So she says, I try to get up before everybody else. And I said, okay. And she said, but that doesn't always work. I said, all right, what else do you do? And she said, sometimes when I'm in the car and I have a few minutes, I'm praying while I'm driving. And sometimes when I'm going to pick up the girls from school. And she says, sometimes her husband, Micah, my son-in-law, says, I'll just say, Micah, take the kids. And she says, then I'll just escape to a place and I'll have some time with God. And I asked her this question too. I said, Rachel, when was the last time that you really heard God speak to you? And she said, it was several weeks ago. Some of you prayed for my grandson, Silas, who was in critical condition for a while. He was in the hospital. And Rachel told me that when she was there, she was terrified, just scared out of her mind. And she said, I was trying to believe in the goodness of God, and I was trying to believe that God was going to heal little Silas. And she goes, and I was struggling so much because I was doubting his goodness. And she says, as I was praying, she said, Dad, God didn't speak to me like in the way that he would say some words. She said, but I all of a sudden had the most incredible peace. And she said, when I got that peace, that was God's way of speaking to me. She goes, I knew everything was going to be okay. It just came on me. God wants to speak to you, and maybe it might be like that sometime. Finally, how do I get results through my prayer life? I think everybody wants to get results. And first of all, let's go back to that relationship thing. Remember, it's a relationship. It's not transactional. You know, it's not like, okay, I throw up a prayer and you do this. I do that. It's not a formula. I think sometimes people get caught up in a formula, you know, because there's a bunch of books out there about, you know, how to get results from God. Here's the formula. There is no formula. Just have a relationship with God. Get close to God. Spend some time with God. Get to know him on a deep, personal level. We need to remember this, that our prayers can change the outcome. You know what? I was going to run a little clip here because before I do this, I can't remember if we actually got the clip set up or not. Do we have the clip back? We do have the clip? Okay, we do. So before I show it, about 13 days ago, I was watching football like a lot of you, and there was a horrible, horrible accident that happened on the field. DeMar Hamlin went down. I was actually watching it, and I was on the phone talking to somebody, and I watched him stand up and then fall backwards, and then suddenly pandemonium, and next thing I know, they're administering, you know, CPR to this guy. I didn't realize how serious it was, but it got worse and worse and worse, and I think for a moment, it's like the whole nation, anybody that was watching that game, and even people that weren't, were receiving phone calls, and it seemed like everybody began to pray and gather around. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life, because they had to administer CPR to this guy two different times. His heart literally stopped. He stopped breathing. And it was like he died. And so, you know, the whole nation suddenly is focused on this. And so while that was going on, this was on ESPN Sports Channel. One of the guys on the ESPN did this.
Football gave me everything. You know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. You know, like, this is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that, like, we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it him. Is.
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad, we're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 Wow.
It's beautiful.
And respectfully. And that happened. Isn't that something?
We will continue to cover this story.
You know, you hear a lot of bad things.
We have,
you can go ahead and cut it right there. You hear a lot of bad things about what's going on in our country. There's a lot of concerns. And then that happens. And on national TV, he prays that prayer. And I believe that he's alive today because of those prayers. There was millions of people that were praying. Friend, I believe in the power of prayer. And I think that was the craziest moment because it affected our entire country. It was that moment where maybe people all around began to see that God is real and prayer is real. Amen. That's why, you know, if you want to be heard by God, and I love the way that he did it, he prayed a prayer of expectation. Like he says, God, we believe in a God that heals. And I believe that's important. You want to be heard by God? Pray with expectation, not with fatalism. You know what fatalism is? Fatalism is well, I'm going to pray this prayer. I don't know if anything's going to happen, but I'm just going to throw a prayer up. That's fatalism. No. The Bible tells us we are to pray a prayer of faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We need to remember that our prayers can change the outcome of things. That's how you get heard by God. Well, let me wrap it up here. God wants to hear your prayers. And you have been located by God. And God wants to speak to you. But we need to stop and listen so he can speak. So we need to pray with expectation. And I hope that this morning that there's a sense in all of us that, yeah, I need to do that. I need to take things to the next level with God and begin to have a prayer life where not only does he hear me, but I hear him. Okay? Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, we believe in the power of prayer. We've seen the evidence of the power of prayer. Not only in Damar Hamlin, which he's doing well today, we're here and we're excited about that, but I think a lot of us in this room and a lot of us online right now, we've seen it. We've experienced it. We know that you're real. We know that you answer prayer. God, help us to start to live that way. Help us to start to believe that way. Help us to pray powerful prayers. And if there's any here today, and maybe the reason they're not connecting is because they really have not come to know you, that today they would open their hearts to you, Father God. They would come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, and surrender themselves to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.